May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Shmashom, everyone. My name is Simon Fisher of Deacon Yeshua, and I'd like to serve you as a priest dying very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? My name is It's a privilege and honor to introduce to you the sons and daughters of Israel who are now entering the sanctuary. I'd like to turn it over to our first speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. May the PCI be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech is, We Must Believe Into the One Yahweh Has Sent. The world is full of believers, but the question is, believers of what? The world says just to believe. The scriptures, however, show that you must believe into the One Yahweh sent in these last days. Please turn over to Yochanan 6:29, found on page 821. Yahshua answered and said to them, This is the work of Yahweh, that you believe in him whom he has sent. For my next scripture, please turn it over to Isaiah 2:2, found on page 531. It will come to pass in the last days that the mountain of promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations, and it will be raised above all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow to it. Yahweh established a work in the United States through a man we know and love, sent by Yahweh. In the ninth book of Yisrael, page 1, chapter 21, verses 67 through 68. In Hebrews 13, verse 17, it says, We must obey. We must obey those who have the rule over us. Well, how do you know who has the rule over you? Yahweh shows you in Scripture. In the laws, who has the rule over you? It doesn't exactly mean rule either. It means he has the authority to teach. If everyone had authority to teach, this world would be the most mixed up mess in the world right here. So he said, follow this person. You must believe into that person in order to not be confused with the mixture of every thought. Praise Yahweh. Now the difference is he says, I'll put a spirit up on that person, and I will guide that person. Now he doesn't say he'll do that with everyone. He says no. He said, you've got to come believe into that person. And believe into that person. Yahshua was the perfect example of this. Right. He's talking about here for the last days, because he said, in the last days, I'm going to establish my house, and it will be with a person, a particular person, and you've got to believe into that person. This person we have to believe into is Yisrael Hawkins. Yahweh has shown that Yisrael Hawkins is the one sent. The witness in these last days, through all the prophecies written about him, that he has fulfilled everything. He says everything. He says everything he writes. We have to get into our heads. He has the authority to teach, and he does teach us everything we need to know in order to make it into into Yahweh's kingdom. We just need to learn what to teach, then teach what we've learned. If we truly believe into the one he has sent in these last days, we will do the same work he is doing, and we have to stay with him in order to do this great work with him. May I bless your understanding, and if you'll all please stand. I would now like to turn over to the next speaker.
The great son of Yisrael Abel, Deacon Yisrael David Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. And please be turning over to Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18. And I'd like everyone to visualize something, or try to visualize something, and I'm sure we've all seen it before. Somebody, maybe a carpenter or a builder, or somebody putting together some sort of equipment or something. Maybe they're trying to close a door, maybe, something really simple. They have this one piece that they're trying to add into the building, or the thing that they're building, the door. And it just won't go in like it's supposed to. So what do they start doing? Exactly. They start slamming it, right? And they slam it and slam it and start forcing it and pounding on it over and over again to try to get this piece to go in. Now, as if somehow that's going to magically make the piece that doesn't fit, fit. And you know, everybody's sitting there looking around, looking at this person who seemed so intelligent just a few minutes ago, and now they're slamming this piece in, and it just isn't working. So, the person could sit there slamming this piece in all day long, and it still wouldn't go in. But they'd end up with some things. They would, and I want you to pay attention to these things that they'll end up with, and write them down. So, one, you could get so fed up with slamming the piece that you just give up and, you know, throw the piece aside, maybe break it, and just give up working with this piece. And you're mad at the piece. You're upset at this inanimate object that did nothing wrong, but, you know, you're upset at it, so you get rid of it. Or, two, you could slam the piece over and over until it's completely damaged and doesn't work properly anymore. Or you get the piece to fit, finally, after slamming it for, you know, as long as you're going to slam it. But it's so warped and mangled by that time that it fits, but it doesn't function properly anymore. You probably see where I'm going with this. But it's really, really important that you keep these things in mind that occurs to these pieces when we force them and slam them. And because it's the same thing with people. We can do the exact same thing with people. Praise Yahweh. Now, there's a man that I'm really honored to get to work with, and he's been here for many, many, many years, much longer than most of us here. And I really, really admire this man. He doesn't really get into a frenzy about anything. And he, we were working, I think we were putting in a door frame, a door jam. We were trying to get this door jam in. And it wouldn't go. It wouldn't fit. And before I could even think of slamming it, you know, he suddenly spake unto me. And he was like, you know, there's a logical explanation for every single thing that takes place in the universe. So here's what we're going to do. And we took the door jam out, and he looked at it. He got his level. He got all his tools. And if you have to know this guy, but he works very methodically, very precisely. And he doesn't get in a rush or a frenzy. And we could learn that from him. He got his level. He got his tools. And we realized, well, there was a bigger problem. It wasn't the door jam's fault. The wall wasn't plumb. So the door jam wasn't going to fit no matter how much you slammed it and put it in there. So we had to go and work out the problem, fix it. So let's go ahead and read Exodus chapter 18 and verse 20 here. It says, and this is speaking to all of us. It says, you shall teach them the ordinances and laws and shall show them the way in which they must walk and the work that they must do. And then later down, this is Yethro speaking to Moshe, and he's talking about choose these able men who reverence Yahweh and have them teach the people. And but notice it says, you shall show them. You shall show them how to do the things that we need to get accomplished. Now, everybody that comes to the house of Yahweh, everybody that Yahweh calls, has, you know, none of us are perfect, that's for sure. None of us are perfect. And we all have some really, praise Yahweh, we all have some really interesting issues. Issues that most people in the world don't even have. We come here and it's like, where did this guy come from? But Yahweh takes us and he works with us and he makes us into fine gold. And he makes us purple. And he makes us to where we can become perfect. So that's what all of us have to do our best to do. Instead of slamming pieces together and, you know, we get frustrated and we see somebody who has a problem and we want to, you know, grab them and shake them and force them to understand something. But that's not how anything works. It just won't work. You have to look at that person. That's our job as a leader. Look at that person. See what the issue is. Talk to them. Ask them what the issue is. And then work with them to solve the problem. Unless you find the root of the problem, you're never going to solve the problem. Praise Yahweh. Now, Kam gave a sermon. It was 2 feasts ago. It was Passover. And he was talking about living stones. And he said that we're all living stones, and everybody has a place in this work. Everybody can fit, you know, but everybody's not going to fit in that spot that you might, you know, expect them to fit in. So you have to take them, look at them, and try them in another spot, and try them in another spot. Sometimes you might have to chisel a little bit on the stone to get it to fit properly, which, you know, like we train people, and we guide people, and we encourage people to get them to fit into a spot properly. That's what we have to do. And some of us, be turning over to 1 Corinthians, Chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll start with verse 18. Yahweh called many of us here, and he puts us in positions to see where we're gonna fit. And, you know, we come from a world where, you know, we're taught to believe in ourselves and to, you know, be proud people, be proud of ourselves. And sometimes we can bring that here to the house of Yahweh. And I want to read that in verse 18. It says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks he is wise by the standards of the world, let him become a fool. And this isn't being mean by any means. It's telling you, you got to realize all the stuff that you learned in the world will interfere with your understanding in Yahweh unless you push it aside and start learning anew from pastor and from the priest and those he has set in order. For the wisdom, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with Yahweh. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. So, yeah, and I've even heard people say, you know, if we were in the world, this wouldn't work. You know, we wouldn't do this. When I was in the world, we never did things like this. But we're not in the world. We're in the house of Yahweh. And we have to get that through our heads. We're doing things the way Yahweh wants us to do them. And when pastor instructs us to do something, it might seem like the most unorthodox thing that you would never do. But he has something else in mind. He's doing it the way Yahweh has planned to do it. So we have to remember that. So leaders, and all of us are leaders, we have to remember that. Pastor even mentioned, and I'm sure we could take this and run with it however we want, please don't, but he said, you're all counselors. And when you talk to each other, you should be counseling each other properly. So we have to learn this too, each and every one of us. So leaders, whether we're, parents and supervisors, pastor's been saying this for years. You know, a lot of times we might think, we look at people and we see them as rebellious, but it's reflecting on us as a supervisor, as a teacher, as a leader, as a parent. Because if we can't train them properly, they're not the ones that are the problem. It's us as the leaders that need to improve and step up our game. Praise Yahweh. And if somebody's struggling, you don't take a billy club and beat them down into a hole. You find out the problem and you help them up so that they can continue going. Now, Pastor gave a sermon in 1999 called The Woman That Shuns Society. And he explained this wonderfully in that sermon. And I'd like to play that clip if you have it.
But soon, brethren, you will be above the Malachim. You will be judging and ruling and guiding, teaching, so forth, the Malachim, if you prove right now that you're following Yahweh's laws. Let me point out a little minor detail right here. If you are a harsh ruler, no matter who you're ruling over, whether it's your wife, your family, your children, your youngest baby for crying or whatever, remember this before you take a hand, because you're going to be ruled as to how you do this. If you're running a business and you're treating these people harshly, you are irritable, you are sarcastic to them, you know, you won't make it. You simply won't be there. Unless you become the loving, kind, guide person, humble, loving person that wants to rule out of love and concern rather than your stupid attitudes when you feel frustrated and you want to take your spite out on somebody else, you know, it won't be that way. And I guarantee you, unless you start making efforts to change, I hope nobody stopped their children from enjoying the feast. I think that's the cruelest thing a person can do to their children. You know, you should let them enjoy the feast. You should encourage this. You should find ways to help them to do it righteously, you know, and not evil. And you should be guiding them every minute and pointing out how blessed they are to be called and given an opportunity to be a great part of the Yahweh family who will live forever. This is your job, in kindness and love and thoughtfulness and caring, not, you know, out of brutality and you didn't do what I said, wham, 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 you know. Well, the problem was you didn't teach the child what you wanted him to do in a kind, loving way, or he wouldn't be that way. He wouldn't be that rebellious child. And it depicts upon your teaching ability. And if you need teaching ability, we have programs set up for that very thing. And patience is the one thing you need to learn. Every one of us who is a parent. Where was I? Where did I stop? Man. What? What verse?
All right, praise Yahweh. But there are several things he said in there that we really need to keep in mind. You know, our job as leaders is not to beat anybody into the kingdom of Yahweh. Our job as leaders is to train people how to be leaders better than us. You know, as a leader, we should want our students to be better than us. Kanya Didya, another extremely great leader, in a letter that he wrote a while back, I'd like to read this to you all. He says, he's talking about leaders. He says, you have to be the greatest servant to the people. To be the greatest teacher, you have to become the greatest server. No matter the job, teach them. When you're showing them how to do something, show them how to do it. Work with them and always keep positive, even if something breaks. Keep positive. You are the leader. Show them the work that they must do and then how to work that road. You are the light to shine on the road, especially if you're a leader that's been doing it for years. You know how to do that. You know how to do it, so you be that light. Show them how to do it. Shine the light on the road so that they can walk down that road with you. I'm going to skip down a little bit because I don't have much time. But he says that never give up on a worker. You lead from the front, not the back. If they get behind on a job, help them. See where it is at its weakest link and help that link. Be its strength. This is how you will build trust among the workers and how you give them the positive energy to get the job done. No matter how slow the job gets done, always, at the end of it all, Let them know that they did a great job and that every effort counts. So that was from Kanya Didya. And we all need to take that into, we all need to put that in our mind when we're leading and training people. It's not about forcing anybody to do anything. It's about teaching them and showing them how to do it. Otherwise, we're the ones that are going to be judged as unworthy. Now, all of this is extremely important, and I wouldn't even say anything about it unless our whole purpose in the house of Yahweh wasn't to be leaders, teachers, and trainers. The whole reason we're here is to become teachers. And I've heard people recently, and I've heard it, you know, all my life, but I've heard it recently where they listened to a sermon from pastor and they said, well, pastor said some of us won't be teachers. Some of us are just going to be, you know, cooking vegetables or something. And that's me. I'm not going to be a teacher. You know, I don't want to be a leader. I'm just going to be that guy washing the vegetables. With all due respect, that's the dumbest attitude you can have, because our job is to become teachers. And yeah, there are going to be people who are washing vegetables and things like that. But 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31 says to shoot for the highest position possible. Write that down and read it. Shoot for the very highest position you can get. And yeah, the highest position you get might be to wash vegetables, but you did your best, and you'll be continuing on that road to teach somebody else how to wash vegetables. And like Pastor said, there's classes to go to show us how to do it. So Yahweh said you could do it, so put your mind to it and win. Win this race, and this is how we win this race. So everybody, I want to encourage you to keep going, don't give up, and do your best to be the best leader and teacher you possibly can. If you'll all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the great Kahan Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Okay, we're gonna start again here right where we left off at the feast. Did y'all enjoy that feast? It was the greatest feast ever. Are you enjoying this feast? Okay, now, on the last day of the feast, this is really great, I got to tell you, I did not plan this. Yahweh, I did not know what Pastor was going to be speaking about at all that day. In fact, I thought he was going to be speaking about something else in Revelation. But can we have the first slide? He talked about Numbers 13, looks like verse 23, and I'm going to read it. It says, when they reached the valley of Eshkol, or meaning cluster, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. So just notice there that word branch and single cluster, you know, denoting unity. Notice it says here, it's word number 2156, that word branch. And it goes to 2168. And Pastor spent a bunch of time on that number right there explaining about this trimming and pruning or dressing the garden, if you all remember that, on that last day of the feast. However, now I think Pastor knows everything, but he pretends he doesn't. Okay? This number, 2168, kept going through my mind, and I'm thinking, where in the world did I see that number he keeps harping on? Can I have my next slide? It was in your slideshow. It was in the slideshow that I did on the Messier 35 or NGC 2168, which is called an open cluster in the constellation of Gemini. They call Gemini. And if you remember, the M35 NGC 2168 was 1074. That's why we were talking about it. And a cluster in Gemini was 1074. So I thought, wow, what a coincidence, right? That this would go to that. Come on, next slide. And so, Messier 35 and Comet 21P is 1074. And M35 NGC 2168 is 1074. And you see on the first one, it says 602 in Jewish. 602 means revelation. And if you were to take 2168 and split it in two, the number he was harping on, 21 means to rejoice greatly. It means my father in Hebrew, and it means to rejoice greatly in 21 in the Greek. And then remember, he talked about stones. He talked about the stones, okay? 68 means a stone. Wow. What a coincidence again, right? The very things that Pastor talked about that day. Now, something else he probably knew, but I never told him about because I was still looking into it, was something a great Kahan showed me. He actually sent me a link to a video showing a certain thing. And what I want you to notice is, just watch the video, and we'll discuss it afterward, but notice the number of this cluster of galaxies that it's going to be talking about. Just pay close attention. Can you play the video?
Let's zip way, way out to the stars, or rather, galaxies. This is Abel 2142, a massive cluster embedded in superheated gas, which they think is only half of a cosmic dance with another group. With Sloan's optical view and Chandra's X-ray view, we look at a nearby grouping to Abel, pulling back the optical to leave X-ray signatures, revealing a grouping that appears to be falling into Abel, which is visible at the bottom of the screen. If a jet had existed at Abel, it would shoot right through that approaching cluster and possibly through that intermediate return, which looks too bright in X-rays to merely be excited gas emission. Either way, that top part looks like a comet. That top part looks like a comet made of small galaxies racing towards the larger Abel below. And there's a little scout out ahead to check things out first. Presuming that little guy in the middle is going that way too. If not, maybe we've got something else going on.
Okay, so that might not mean much, other than the fact that you see a cluster up on the top left that seems to be shooting out a comet toward the Abel 2142 galaxy below in that corner. And he talked about a little scout that went out ahead to check it out first. Kind of reminded me of the story of the scouts that went out to spy out the land. Remember that? Okay, can we go to the next slide? Because the date that this sermon was given by Pastor was Yahakob 22. It was the last day of the feast. Now, I want you to notice some numbers. You see 3127, 1404, 234. 1404, we talked about that number that day. I never looked this number up before, this date up beforehand. 3127 means branch. Branch, the very thing Pastor talked about. 1404 means dragon, a dragon. We talked about that day. 234 means specifically remembrance, offering, memorial, and look what number it's from. 2142. Remember Abel 2142. Is that not amazing? The very Abel cluster. 2142. That's the word Zakar. It's where you get the word Zakaria from. Remember those signs when you're leaving the house of Yahweh to remember the things that Yahweh's been showing us, these signs that he's been giving us? Let's look at the next slide. Let's look at what a cluster is, like a cluster of grapes or stars. It's a group of similar things or people positioned or occurring closely together, close group or a congregate, to gather, group, or assemble. That's what a cluster is, okay? And there can be two types of clusters. There could be a cluster of righteousness, and there could be a cluster of evil, depending on who's gathering there. Let's go to the next slide. Because it shows this perfect stone that Pastor was talking about, the perfect number, 1074, white stone, 828, the perfect stone, 1074, white stone at Abel, 1074, Pastor's three lot numbers. Remember, 17, 28, 74, and that white stone of acquittal that's going to be given to us. Now let's talk about some other stones. Can I have my next slide? Let's talk about the draconids. Now, the draconids, the October draconids, it's a meteor shower that takes place every October, Roman October, between the 6th and the 10th, which would be today, right? But the greatest meteor showers in history took place from this particular cluster, this Draconid galaxy, actually, the Draconids, let me explain. The comet 21P just went by the other day, right? Well, the comet 21P, it says, Draconids in the past, officially known as the Gaia Cabinos, that's the guy that discovered comet 21P, are a meteor shower whose parent body is the periodic comet 21P Gio Cabini Zinner. Okay? So this comet is what causes this occurrence to take place because it's the dust and things left behind from the tail of this comet when the Earth passes through it, which it's about to do today. It says the 1933 and 1946 Draconids, these had thousands of meteors per hour. I think they said like 10,000 per hour fell from the sky in 1933 and 1946. Then in 1998, it suddenly spiked again. We're going to talk about this. Let's go ahead and go to the... This occurs between October 6th and 10th. They're called the Draconids. Let's go to the next slide. We're going to talk about who discovered the constellation called Draco, which is what this Draconids, a meteor shower, is named after. His name was Ptolemy. Ptolemy was an Egyptian. He was part of the Egyptian-Roman Empire. He was a mathematician, geographer, astronomer, and astrologer. And he lived from AD 100 to AD 170, or after AY 170. The etymology, let's look at the next slide. The etymology of his name, Ptolemy, means warlike or son of war. Son of war, 666. Warlike men, 666. A Ptolemy, 666. If you remember, Ptolemy is also one of the generals that went out from Alexander. The Ptolemies actually took over Egypt after the four generals split up. There's a lot of history on that you can read about Alexander the Great and the four generals. Can we go to the next slide? So the Draconids are also called the Geocabinids, something like that. But notice, 1074. A Draconid meteorite, 1074. We'll talk about what a meteorite is. A Draconid's meteorite, 666. A meteor shower, 1404. Okay, 1404, remember, means dragon. Let's go to the next slide because we got to learn about this particular constellation that this Draconids appears in. It's in the constellation called Draco the Dragon. That's where you get the word Draconids. Okay, now... Draco, you look at the bottom part where it says, the constellation Draco can be found revolving around the celestial North Pole. It's actually between the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. You can see it, okay? Now notice, the constellation Draco the Dragon, 1074. And that middle number, 1950, actually goes to 1993 in the Hebrew, and it means chaos, uproar, noisy, clamorous, confused, war, throw into confusion. Okay, because that's what's taking place in the heavens. There's chaos taking place. Remember what pastors taught us in There Is Someone Out There. The chaos taking place in the heavens right now at this time. And remember, these constellations are inhabited by beings that are actually controlling these planets. You remember that? Pastors taught us about that. They didn't worship, when they worshiped the host of heaven, they weren't worshiping a rock. They were worshiping the beings that inhabited these planets. Notice, constellation Draco, 666. Wow, what a coincidence. Celestial North Pole, 666. Can I have the next slide? Let's see where we can find this Draco. As I said, it was between the Big Dipper and Little Dipper in the sky. That's not hard to find. Most of us can find that. Notice, the Little Dipper, 1074. Really? Well, let me tell you what that 585 means next to it. It means a sighing, groaning, distress, physical and mental distress. That's in the Hebrew. In the Greek, it means manifestation, showing forth, to bring out, to show, to exhibit, appointed to a public office. Remember, these beings, they're groaning. They're in distress. They need help. There's war in heaven taking place. There's There's all the things you see on earth that are taking place today. And they need deliverance. They're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of Yahweh, you know, the perfect stones. You're going to have to present that stone to them for them to be able to know that you've been appointed to a public office. They're waiting. Remember Romans 8, 19 and 22. The whole creation is groaning. Can I have my next slide? The October Draconids, remember I said, were the 1933 and 30 and 46 there was 10,000 of them per hour. It was the biggest meteor storm on record, okay? Where you could go outside and look and you saw nothing but stars falling from heaven. Let's see why. Let's see what was taking place. 1933. Can I have my next slide? Adolf Hitler rising to power. And if you'll notice, this is their own words. The year 1932 had seen Hitler's meteoric rise to prominence. His meteoric rise to prominence. And notice the number 1932, it matches what they just said in that article. There's also a 322 over there on the left. We know whose tag number that is. But we also know that could be Genesis 322, you know, where man becomes like the gods. Now, what was taking place? Oh, that was in 33 when Hitler became Chancellor of Germany. Can I have my next slide? And then the following year, in 1935, he took full power. On August 2nd, 1934, he became what's called the Führer, or leader of Germany, the supreme leader. Can I have my next slide? Now, what was taking place in 1946? Well, the United Nations had their first meeting on January 10th, 1946, London, England, actually. It was created the year before in 1945, but their first meeting of the UN took place in 1946 on that date. And it says that their first resolution was a measure calling for the peaceful uses of atomic energy and the elimination of atomic and other weapons of mass destruction. That was Resolution 1 of the UN's first meeting on January 10, 46. So we see the rise of the New World Order in 1946, the one world government, the United Nations. We have my next slide. That article said the Draconids then spiked again in 1998. Well, you should remember some of these things about 1998 that were brought out recently. If you look in your book of Yahweh that has the numbers in it, Genesis 10 right below says 1998. If you put 1998 three times in Gematria, you get 666. And if you add 666 times three, you get 1998. And remember, right after 1998 AY, we saw the Columbine shootings, and everybody was wondering where this all started and how the morals started to go downhill. Can I have my next slide? Because we're going to talk about the word meteor. The word meteor means to be lofty, to raise up. Sound familiar? Remember what Satan said in Isaiah 14? I will raise my throne. Let's go there. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14. I will raise my throne. Isaiah 14:12 on page 538 says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O Hillel, child of the light. You are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend." Notice, I will ascend. 666. I will ascend. In other words, you know, I'm going to raise myself up above my brothers and sisters. I will ascend above the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of Yahweh. I will sit in the highest place on the holy mountain of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So notice, I will ascend 666 in the lofty 666. Now, what are meteors made of? Well, let me show you. Here's a picture. It says, what is a meteor made of? And notice it says, it can be stony, consisting of stony iron and nickel. Combination of stony iron and nickel. So they're basically stones of iron and nickel. That word nickel is kind of interesting. Nick would be like Satan and L would be like God. They're made of iron and nickel, and dust and ice, they say, from the comet that they claim is made from ice. I talked to Pastor about that before, and he's like, he asked the scientists to explain how ice could float in space for that long and not melt. nobody could actually answer his questions, which means they don't even know what it's made of. they're guessing. Can I have my next slide? Let's skip through that next slide. Let's go to the slide afterwards. Oh, actually, stay there. Go back. There's a pole star. There's a new pole star in the constellation of Draco. Now it's Polaris, but it used to be the pole star. Used to be Thuban. It was 3,000 years ago or so when they built the Great Pyramid of Giza. You know, they have chambers in that pyramid where you could actually look out and you could see these stars. And then they aligned them to these pole star Thuban in that constellation of Draco. And if you notice, the Great Pyramid of Giza set 1404, which is the dragon, and the Great Pyramid 777, if you remember I showed before, at the base of the pyramid on the dollar bill, you add up the numbers, 666 on the bottom and 111 at the top, and you get the 777 from that number. Can I have my next slide? Okay, so, all right, sometimes that, never mind. Okay, let's look at, there's two guide stars as well in this constellation of Draco between the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. They're called Mizar and Firkad, and they're called guide stars. Okay, so you have guide star Mizar and Firkad, 1404, which means dragon again. Okay, let's go to the final slide here. There's an interesting thing here. Remember I told you this meteor shower takes place between the 6th and the 10th? October 10th, it shows, is the deadline that they've given these factions to move out of Idlib. There's a 10-10 deadline, and Russia said if they don't move out by then, they could possibly bomb Idlib. Okay, and that's on 10-10. Anybody know what the date 10-10 is? It's this coming new moon, the first day of the moon of Moshe. Look, the moon of Moshe, 1074. What a coincidence, right? So between now, Revelation also means 1010 in Gematria. It's actually 1010. We'll talk more about this. I got kind of rushed here, but be aware that there's going to be, they say on the 8th is when you're going to see those meteors. You'll see the biggest display of these meteors falling from the sky. And they say 2018 is going to be the largest one. Those three, 33, 46, and 2018 are expected to be the largest ever. And they say there'll never be another like this again in your lifetime. So at this time, if you'd all please stand, keep all these things in mind. Remember these signs in heaven that Yahweh's giving, and the war in heaven and all the beings that are waiting for us to come to perfection. So let's do it, House of Yahweh. Let's come to perfection. And at this time, I'd like to present to you the great Kohen Yehuda Hawkins.
Shalom. Please be seated. I got a lot to talk about, but not a lot of time to do it in. I don't even get rollover minutes. Anyway, turn to your Book of Yahweh, let's see here. Oh, yes. Page 982. What we're going to talk about today is a little bit about how Yahweh wants to prepare you for the kingdom. But we want to talk about what the world wants to do for their kingdom first. Revelation 17, verse 17 reads, "But Yahweh has put in their hearts to perform His will and to agree and give their kingdom to the beast until the words of Yahweh will be fulfilled." But that's not what it's saying. The word Yahweh in the clause, "But Yahweh has put in their hearts," that is written in Revelation 17:17, is translated from the Hebrew verb Yahawah. This word is listed on page 338. Poor tongue. Of volume 1 of the Hebrew, Aramaic, English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which shows this word means to come to pass. The word put that is written in Revelation 17:17 is translated from the Hebrew word natan. This word is listed on page 959 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means to give over. The word words that plural words that is written in Revelation 17:17 is translated from the Hebrew word pha. This word is listed on page 1116 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, which so this means to write from the oral communication of one. So this is what Revelation 17:17 is telling us. But it will come to pass that their hearts will be given over to what they will. They'll give their hearts to Jesus or the generals or the colonels or the secretaries of defense or whatever, to give their kingdom to the beast. Now, Yahweh doesn't want you to give anything to the beast. Isn't that correct? So how can they say this? Until every word of Yahweh that has proceeded out of his mouth that has been written will be fulfilled. In other words, it's not Yahweh giving these people over to the beast. It's they themselves. That their hearts will be given over to do what they will. You hear in, we used to have a church around called the Liberty Church. I understand it's out of business. But the point is, that's what they believe. Give your hearts to Jesus and you have liberty. Freedom from the law, oh happy condition. Well, what's so bad about the law? It tells you not to rape. It tells you not to molest. It tells you not to kill. It tells you not to go to war. So what's so bad about the law? Is it because they want you to rest on Sunday instead? Can't do that. You'll miss pro football or pro basketball or baseball. They've got it all lined out. And that's their problem. What I want to tell you is they want you to become like people that will give the beast whatever it, they, she, or whatever want. And that's what this scripture said. This is going to go on until what Yahweh said he's going to have dealt with has been completed. And the molding of these people to believe this begins from the time they are conceived. They hush little baby, don't say a word, Jesus is going to give you a mockingbird, things like that some of you heard. They want to mold you into the ways of God or the gods. But let's find out what Yahweh's saying about it. Now we went from one end of the book of Yahweh, now we're going to the other end. If you will, please turn to page 7 in your book of Yahweh. Page 7. It is what I am convinced is a major breakthrough here. And this verse is just one of many that's going to have a correction in it. This is Genesis 9, verse 6. Very top first verse on page 7. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of Yahweh he made man. Oh, yeah. A computer screen. Oh, a mouse and a lion and a photography program. I guess he did it all, didn't he? The word image that is written in Genesis 9:6 is translated from the Hebrew word batsalam. This word is listed on page 604 of the Student's Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon to the Old Testament by Alexander Huckabee, which shows this word means outline or plan. Look up the word outline in any dictionary, and it'll tell you the word means plan. Look up the word plan in most dictionaries. It'll say it means outline. They are the same word. They're telling you the same thing. So this is what Genesis 9:6 is saying. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for Yahweh made man according to his plan. The plan of Yahweh. In the beginning was the plan. The plan was of Yahweh and the plan belonged to Yahweh. Jochanan 1:1. The molding these people want to do is what was written in the Psalms. It says, we are for peace always, but they are for war. Be all you can be. Reach high. It's not a job. It's an adventure. I didn't know dodging bullets was an adventure. Or how about a few good men? Or nobody wants to fight, but somebody has to. We are for peace, O Yahweh, says the Psalms. but they are for war. They teach these children and they mold them into warriors. They even call their words in their scriptures the sword. The sword of God. And all those type of things. But what I want you to know is this. Yahweh said he plans to make man according to his plan. In Genesis 1:26 it says, and Yahweh said, let us make man according to this plan. The same Hebrew word is used there. Salam. Or bat salam. Let us make man according to the plan of Yahweh. Why does he say us? Because who is the us he is talking to? It's you. And that's what it's all about. Let us make man for Yahweh. These are prophecies as well as because it says, for in the image of Yahweh he made man. That is a preterite verb. That means it's past tense, but it's telling about the future. Whoever says man, by man's blood shall be shed, for it will come to pass that Yahweh will make man according to his plan. You are to carry out that plan. Just do your job and stay with it. And my dad used to say, don't jump off the buggy now. In other words, don't quit. Stay with it. Whatever job you've got, no matter what it is, believe that Yahweh wanted you to do that job. And if he wants you to do it, no matter how lousy it looks, you're doing what he wants, and that is pleasing in his sight. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And I turn the services over to the great Kohan. Well, he's almost here. Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You know, we want to start off by this red tide that's going around the state of Florida. If you remember what Pastor said about these beaches and how contaminated they are, well, this is just something else to add. And this red tide, scientists call it harmful alga bloom, and it messes with your respiratory system. And, of course, people are talking about how they need to shut these beaches down. But watch and watch very closely about what they're saying is taking place and what causes these things. And keep in mind, Pastor brought out years ago, and we seen it when we were down in Jamaica, these things taking place with these huge cruise ships. They dock about 2 miles off the coast, and all of the sewage that they accumulate from their guests, they dump it. Guess where it goes? It just washes up. And there it goes. It washes right on. You think they'd dump it somewhere out in the middle of the ocean, but they don't. They dump it once they get close in. But these things are gathering, and these toxins are killing. It's killing shellfish, and it's saying that once they're contaminated, if you eat them, which we know you shouldn't, it will actually harm you. But it's also harming the other fish. Also, the Vatican. This month, they've summoned over 100 bishops, and their purpose for their meeting, this is interesting, the purpose for their meeting is they want to discuss how they can appeal to the younger generations, to the youth. Now, you would think that on their agenda, they would have the problems that they're committing with children. Okay, this child abuse, we'll leave it at that, child abuse. But their topics they're wanting to discuss to how to appeal to these younger people are LGBT and video games. Now, in that, you have people that are outside protesting because they have been abused by the Catholic Church. And I want you to watch. It goes into the scheming, and I could feel myself getting upset when I seen this. There was a Catholic bishop that he purposely got himself into deaf schools. So when he raped the children, no one could hear them scream because everyone was deaf. And you think about the mindset that gets behind the sickness that they do as a child screams out, but no one can help. It's total perversion, but that is the way of the system that is outside these gates. And then you have Zimbabwe. Of course, they're vaccinating 1.4 million people for cholera. And don't forget that even Bill Gates, Ted Turner said the same thing, but Bill Gates discussed, we showed here not long ago, that these vaccines will help sterilize. It will help control the population. So these vaccines they're giving out, they're actually looking to sterilize. And remember, they specifically talked about Africa. And then President Trump this week, he said something in his speech I don't think anyone was expecting. But he made a comment to Saudi Arabia, and he said, "You would not last 2 weeks without us." Now, you could only imagine how Saudi Arabia took that. And you'll see the representative of Saudi Arabia at an energy summit, and he's sitting beside his new best friend named Vladimir Putin. And listen to what he says and how he says it. Putin, before the Saudi Arabia representative says anything, Putin says, "If you want to know why oil prices are high, look in the mirror, President Trump." And he's putting it on President Trump. Then listen to what the Saudi representative says, because President Trump just made the comment that OPEC was ripping off everybody with their oil prices. Well, the leader of OPEC is Saudi Arabia. That's who he's talking about. President Putin says, "No, it's you who's doing it." Then watch what the representative of Saudi Arabia says. You don't hear him say one thing about being friends or partners with the United States, but he cannot praise Russia enough. Following that up, you also have the second largest buyer of oil. The United States oil went from being the second largest buyer to now they buy absolutely zero, and that is China. China was pleased to announce that they are zero importers of American oil. It is now Russia, Iranian oil. They have cut themselves. They pretty much have freed themselves from the petrodollars, what they're looking to do. Something also very interesting to note. Remember, Venezuela was looking to start trading oil in the petro yuan. The oil company right across from Venezuela down in Trinidad and Tobago was purchased by a Chinese company. They could actually have a system to sell their oil in Chinese yuan now. But watch carefully what the representative of Saudi Arabia says, because you can see the frustration. Watch what China's doing. They're maneuvering to become an American free kind of economy. Remember the Silk Roads they're trying to establish. Now, Russia's doubting what they're doing, but all of them cuts ties with the United States. And then a UN ambassador, Kay Bailey Hutchinson. Now, she used to be our local senator. This shows how quick things can get out of hand. She made a comment this last week. It was rumored that Russia was working on new missiles that had been banned. It was part of a 1987 Cold War agreement. And her comment was, if they continue to make them, we're going to destroy them. And Russia very quickly spoke out. And then you had congressmen speaking out very quickly saying, "You have but one job. Don't cause nuclear war with Russia. That's your one job. Don't cause anything to cause that to come about." Well, she's not doing very well. She's trying to retract her statements, but it isn't going very well. And then we get into the 10 kings of the East. Now, I want to show you. This came out last week. And you see Russian Orthodox Patriarch urges heads of local churches to discuss the Ukraine issue. Well, the issue they're trying to discuss, it involves what they call autocephaly. Now, that means that a church is wanting to leave someone who's over it to be its own head. Now, they're calling it autocephaly, but that's not really what they're doing. The Ukrainian church is looking to leave under the headship of the Russian Orthodox so they can be under the headship of the Constantinople Orthodox, Constantinople, which is the Patriarch Bartholomew, the one that heads the Ten Kings. Now, the Patriarch Kirill, this is what he said in this article this week. He said, the Patriarch of Moscow and all Russia, Kirill, has reportedly sent letters to the heads of all Orthodox churches urging them to start discussing the church situation in Ukraine. The Patriarch was quoted as saying that the activities of the Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople could lead to extremely serious consequences for the unity of the world Orthodoxy. The Ecumenical Patriarch recently signaled its intentions to set up a local church independent of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, which is headed by Moscow. It goes on to say Orthodox churches may initiate a pan-Orthodox synod, or that's an assembly or a conference that they're looking, that pan-council, they're looking at calling that back together to discuss the problem of the Ecumenical Patriarch's decision to grant autocephaly. Now, when you watch the article, when you see the article and put it together with the video that we're going to show, the Patriarch of Russia and the Patriarch of Constantinople met. Now, the Patriarch of Russia asked him, "Can we just stop this?" And the reply from the Patriarch of Constantinople was, it's already in play, we can't stop it. So the Russian Kirill became angry and he got up and he left the meeting. So there's a lot boiling here, a lot of emotions, a lot taking place. And you see these kings of these kings, remember what separates them. The one in Russia said, we showed during the feast that he feels that the one in Istanbul, what's called Istanbul now in Turkey, it's called Constantinople, that they follow the Pope and they seek to go the way of the Pope. That's what he says is his problem with them. So pay close attention, because everything we see here is exactly what Pastor has brought about these 10 kings. And remember, 1 hour burning is what will take place. If we could please play the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Looks like we got a feast going. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The news is really great, right? I'm cheering that news. The fights and wars takes you over to Revelations 13:10, which we want to continue on with that just a little bit. But this, while this is on your mind about the Palestinians and the 3.5 years that we're either into or fixing to go into, I'm thinking we're already in it by transferring the United States Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And as Trump said, that takes it off of the table. It's no longer an issue. Well, of course, they've taken it to the criminal court, and it's skipping my mind now, right now. But the Trump freezes the PA's bank accounts. Now, Trump said that, if you got that statement, he said Saudi Arabia would not last 2 weeks without the American Army, the U.S. Army. He got some criticism there, but the U.S. Army is supporting Saudi Arabia. The U.S. is supporting the Palestinian Liberation Organization. And, of course, now Trump has frozen their bank accounts. They can't take money out anymore. Now, they're calling this blackmail. The United States is interfering, intensifying. The United States is intensifying its pressure on Palestinian authority. The network reported on Sunday evening that the U.S. administration has decided to immediately close all bank accounts linked to the PA or the Palestinian Liberation Organization in banks across the United States. Earlier on Sunday, the Lebanon-based Al-Madin television reported that the U.S. ordered the PLO envoy to the U.S. That's Hussam Zamlet out of the country. The American authorities canceled my visa, my family's visa, said Zamlot, and closed our bank accounts. We've been ordered to leave Washington immediately. PLO Executive Committee member Hannah Ashawi blasted the Trump administration for the move, calling it cruel and comparing it to move to blackmail. Things are really heating up here, and the closer we get, I wanted you to write down these dates. You need to keep your own personal record, I think, start keeping your own personal record on the dates of this. You'll thank me later. You can use these dates in your sermons and your teaching to show how the prophecies came to pass, when they came to pass, and you'll have your own notes on it. You could even keep them in the back of your book of Yahweh. But Trump recognizes Jerusalem as Israel's capital. It was the right thing to do. U.S. President Trump breaks with decade-long U.S. policy, saying move is nothing more or less than recognition of reality. Yero Shalom published 1206, 1206.17.14.45. I've got a bunch more here, but it would take too much time to get this right now, but maybe we can get it in writing. The opening of the embassy in Jerusalem will close the door on America's key role in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. May 14th, this has got 2018.00 a.m. That whole article, it's Exit the Peacemaker is the name of the article that gives this information, and much more. It gives the year that Rabin was assassinated, the year he signed the peace treaty, then his assassination, and so forth. I'm going to use those in newsletters, too, so you can get them there. But start keeping your own record. Watch the news if you can. Especially here, we go through this and get the parts that shows prophecy being fulfilled. In 1995, Congress reached a compromise on the issue of Jerusalem. 1995, Trump is posed to end it. 10 days before the assassination in Tel Aviv, Israel, Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin gave a speech in Washington about the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is, this was December the 6th, printed here, December the 6th, 2017. Now, the days before his assassination, he signed this in 1993. Now, Jerusalem is, he said, Jerusalem is the heart of the Jewish people and a deep source of our pride. Rabin said at an event recognizing 3,000 years of the city's existence. That speech was given October 25, 1995. On November 4th, a far-right student fatally shot him. In fact, I think it was a soldier that actually shot him. The evening before his speech, the Congress of the United States passed a law echoing Rabin's assertions about the city. I think I'll stop right there on those, and we'll continue that another time, because I want to get back into this prophecy about Revelations. The news, one particular, this is showing the severity of our country, America, the U.S., it's showing the severity of the whole globe right now. It says, one particularly peculiar cause of anemia is parasite infestation. Now, this is going on big time, and if you notice the recall on hamburger, ground beef, yesterday, this is where we're getting some of it. This is only some of it. Walking on the beach, and I think you ought to wear heavy boots or something if you're going to walk where the world makes their playground. It says, it was later when the children were diagnosed for anemia that the problem of parasite worms even emerged. Once these worms enter the human body, they find their way into the intestines, where they absorb all the nutrients and energy that the person assimilates. The harm that these worms can do to your body, it just takes away all the nutrition you put in it, all the food you put in it that has nutrition, it takes it away. Well, of course, now science is trying to fight the parasite-induced anemia by building a Noah's Ark to preserve what to gather and preserve, gather it up and preserve the antibodies that protect your body, preserve them, because they think, they're saying in this article, that this could end life. It's a crisis, they say, a crisis. One particularly peculiar cause of this is a crisis in the U.S. and global. And that's the parasites. The parasites, they get your body down to where your body starts then breaking down to any disease, flu, the flu, the colds, the allergies, and so forth. And the science is introducing a plan, hoping to get it funded, to unveil a plan to stave off global pandemics with a Noah's Ark of bacteria, housing this and trying to get it through when they get to the point to where there's no protection in the bodies and the people are dropping like flies. They get pretty close to this right now. The public is their immune systems are being brought down slowly, and they don't notice it until diarrhea develops, their strength is gone. They're wondering, why is it so hard to get out of bed of a morning? Why is it suddenly so hard to put in 8 hours a day when you're used to putting in 12 to 16? Now, they call this industrialization. They've rejected some of my articles, and they tell us to water them down because I'm scaring the world. And so I want everyone to know out there, instead of using nuclear explosions anymore, I'm going to call it industrialization. That seems to go through, but keep that in mind when you see this word anymore. We'll beat them at their own game. I'll guarantee you we will beat them. But they've rejected some of the articles, and we've had to change them, water them down, as I call it, and in order to get them through. I got a call from Google again last week. I was gone, but I got it on the answering machine. And so I had Rebecca, Kohana Rebecca Matthews, call them and find out what it was this morning. And they said that our news articles are one of the some of the most popular on Google, and they're wanting the help, of course, and issue their help to make it even better. That at the same time, I don't know if you remember, but the Pope came to see Google, and since that time, they've started making some changes. So I know they're censoring our work, but we will get it through one way or the other. We're reaching the world now with Facebook. That goes all over the world. Google goes all over the world. They may try to change it to where scriptural questions are answered by the Catholic Church, which, if that's the case, you can look at the Catholic Church and their crisis. They're calling it, if you saw that on the news just now, they're calling it a crisis, what's taking place in the Catholic Church. This took place one time before when the biggest 90%, I think, of their cardinals got wiped out. Now, the Scripture calls that by the sword. The wound was the sword. Well, what brought about this black plague was the wound with the sword, not burying the dead, killing them but not burying them, and fast enough. And of course, it creates what we're creating right now also, parasites that your body cannot handle. Well, this is a crisis right now. Not only in the United States, the beaches are unsafe to walk on anymore. Even though they're got salt water washing up on them all the time, they're still unsafe to walk on due to man's filthiness, not being taught the laws of cleanliness that is shown in the Scriptures, and mainly in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, that how to keep yourself clean, how to keep yourself healthy. These things are shown to everyone in the Holy Scriptures, but the Catholic Church took the Holy Scriptures away from mankind for 1,500 years. It only came back in the form of a King James Version. I was asked by the elders what occurred to me when I was 12 years old, if I could remember, because they're working on the background and the gematria of my life. I said the thing that stands out most that I remember at that time period was at 12 years old, I was cutting broom corn. And this is how we made the money to buy winter clothing and stock up on some lists that mother would have to get through the year. After we would eat dinner, we would sit around for a while and rest and talk. And at that time in Oklahoma, the Scripture was read by a lot of people. There was no entertainment. There was no television, telephones, and not much electricity. This beginning to bring it out to the country. There was a little bit in town, and is beginning to bring it out to the country. But none of those things interfered with our lives. And of course, our habit was, and I guess some others' habits, of reading the Scriptures of an evening. So at the broom corn fields, after dinner, we would sit around and we would talk Scripture. And I remember at 12 years old, I remember one man said, and I don't know his name, but he said, "This boy knows more about the Scriptures than all of us." And that was the highlight that I can remember. I can't remember anything else about 12 years old. I know I was probably quite a fool, quite an idiot. All 12-year-olds are, right? Right? Admit it. 12 years old, you need help. You need help badly. I've been in that field. I can tell you, you need help. Don't turn down the help of your parents. Honor your parents. Well, scientists unveiled this plan to try to stop what they have done. It says a group of researchers have warned that we are facing a growing global health crisis as the microbes that live in antibiotics and possessed food, processed foods. I don't know how this is taking place. I just know that they're recalling some of it when they find it. It's making people sick. And the processed foods, I don't know how that's occurring either. They're using preservatives in these processed foods, but the preservatives are getting to where they don't work either. It says, over a handful of generations, we have seen a staggering loss in microbial diversity linked with a worldwide spike in immune and other disorders. If you add up all of that, they show the vault there that they're putting everything into too to try to save these. But I want you to remember what the Savior's words was for this generation. Remember, first off, Revelations 13:10. This is a must. It's got to take place. Yahweh said they rejected his law, so he doesn't force. He doesn't retaliate. He merely says, go this way if you want to, but this is what it's going to bring, and he warns. Well, science is warning you now. The science is warning the world because it's now become a crisis. They say that the people who live in the less trafficking communities are not suffering like they are in the cities. And of course, here in the house of Yahweh, I don't know if you know how blessed you are, just being here is a blessing. Because of the fact of the cleanliness of the foods and of course the preparation, the cleanliness of the preparation of it, the work that the people do here, serving one another, it's even recognized by the Savior. In fact, he commented on it for these last days. I'll read it to you later. But that Matthew Matitia 24:7, it says it's going to be the worst of everything. The worst of everything. disease epidemics will be the worst ever. If you read the history of the Black Plague, that alone wiped out millions and millions of people. It also was the wound with the sword, caused by the sword, by war, and that wiped out all these people. It wiped out so many Catholic cardinals, it hit them harder than it did the rest of the world, but it hit the rest of the world too, including the United States. Now, that was the days of the wagons pulled by horses, and they would come down the streets with their wagon every day, hollering loud, bring out your dead, bring out your dead. And they would take them and bury them in the cities. But this went on for quite some time. Read it for yourself. It's history. Now imagine what could be worse than that. At that time, that wound with the sword also opened the way to get the book of Yahweh back in the hands of Yahweh's house. The house of the gods still have the gods printed in their versions. Every version is just a version of the book of Yahweh. All of them are. The King James Version, it's a version of the book of Yahweh. Well, we have the book of Yahweh now. It says at the top, I hope they didn't do it. Now, we showed this article on the news. I hope they didn't do it. State Department in doubt over S-300 delivery warns of serious escalation. They warn of serious escalation, getting ready for war. And they condemn Russia for delivering this system to Syria. Now, from what I understand, Israel has bought the same system now. It hasn't been delivered, but they have bought it, the same system. This system will probably be dismantled, and they'll probably start copying it, making the blueprints of the things inside of it. That's the way China does. They can duplicate anything they get and start making them rather cheaply and sending them out for sale. It says the new air defense system will be particularly able to suppress satellite navigation, radars, and communication systems, that's your telephones and so forth, systems of enemy aircraft over the Mediterranean Sea. In what might be a source of particular concern for the U.S. and its allies. This is another reason for a first strike. If they could get the first strike in before they get set up to deliver this system, they could get more damage done. This same system sold to Syria, it was sold to Syria as a means of defense, of course. Now, but defense strikes down other things that belong to other people. So they have to strike back. So anytime this is used, you know, you got the chance there of opening up another war. And this time could be the big one. U.S. Navy proposing major show of force to warn China. I think I'll stop right there on that news. Stop there and hold that till the next one. Now, with this 3.5 years that's being talked about, remember that's one of the final things, is that 3.5 years. In that 3.5 years, Yeshua said in Matthew 24:21-22, he said it's going to be the worst of everything. The worst sickness and disease, the worst disease epidemics, the worst wars, and of course, others said, let's be turning over to Matithia. Oh, I wanted to read you this. What your king is saying about you. And then we'll go into this horrifying junk. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. I'll get dried up here in a minute. Then the righteous will answer him. We're doing all those things. Is there anything mentioned there that we didn't do this feast? Are you a part of it? Yes, you are. You're a part of what this king is talking to you. I don't think it's ever been possible before. They had a little bit of it in history, a little bit at a time, and that didn't satisfy the moneymakers, so it didn't last for long. But it's being done full time now at the house of Yahweh. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Teacher, when did we see you hungry and feed you, and thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And Yeshua will say to all of you, and say to them, "Truly I say to you, when you did this for one of these least of these, my neighbors, you have done it unto me." Well, let's go over to 7 now, chapter 7. Now, that's what you did at the feast. You haven't stopped. You're still serving those that come to us naked, need clothing. They're hungry. They need food. You're still doing it. We'll do it up to the end, right? You know, most of the Holy Scriptures is written about us, as you're going to see plainly. And of course, Revelations 13:10 is the final showing is that we will get to, and I'll pin it down for you so you'll recognize what I'm talking about. But look at chapter 7 now in verse 12, and this is also the Savior speaking. And he says, Therefore, all things which you want men to do to you, do the same to them. For this is the teaching of the laws and the prophets." The whole combination of Yahweh's laws and prophets fulfill this right here, what Yeshua just said. And then he said, "Enter in through the narrow gate." Well, of course, that's what you're doing. You search for it first. You search for the, seek first the kingdom of Yahweh. That means house of Yahweh. "I will make you a kingdom of priests," speaking of his house. "I'll make you a kingdom of priests." That's what you are. When he says kingdom, it's talking about you. You're going to be the first fruits, the cluster. the cluster that's in the promised land that's actually flowing with milk and honey. Yes, always, eternally. Put it all together and you'll see this beautiful picture that Yahweh has painted for you. "Enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction." Now, destruction is just what I got through reading to you about. It's if you lived over there in that fourth part of the earth where these prophecies are being fulfilled, you could see it daily. We see it on the news daily. To some, it's like watching a movie. They'd never pay attention to what is actually taking place there. But this stuff is actually taking place in that fourth part of the earth where a third part of man is going to be killed before this stops right there. And, of course, it's all going to come to a showdown with Damascus and the heap of waste that city is going to be. What don't get out of it and come to the house of Yahweh. Enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the way that leads to the house of the gods. Because straight is the gate, verse 14, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. You get off from it, you know. You can't vary from the right to the left. Remember what Deuteronomy 12 and 17 said. You can't vary to the right or to the left. You've got to do what the priest says. Can two walk together without being agreed? No, they can't. You won't even be allowed to try in the kingdom. I know you'd want to try, but we're proving right now your way won't work anywhere. So it's going to be cast out. And then he warns you about the false prophet. There's 4,199 religions in the world, and they're all false. They don't bring forth the way of life. They're bringing forth the way of Satan. Beware of them, he says, who come looking great. They're dressed right. They holding this cross up that's supposed to look holy, which no one knows that's a sword with his handle sticking up in the air. Take this. By this you can conquer. You can kill your enemies. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they kill, they murder. They are for war, and this must be. And for those that are for war, it's a must that they die by war, by man, not by Yahweh. You will know them by their fruits. Their fruits. You may think you know all of this right here, but get it in your mind and I'll show you didn't. There's many other things you need from this right here. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? That was a cluster. Is Yahweh gathering his cluster? His last days that are first from thorn bushes? No. From his house. I'll make my house a kingdom of priests. My house will not be overcome by Satan. The gates of hell won't prevail with its deception. Likewise, every righteous tree. Righteous tree. Genesis 2:9. Righteous tree. He gave its life. It gives you life. This righteous tree, which is the house of Yahweh. And this book right here, the book of life that was taken away from everyone for 1,500 years. And finally, Yahweh brought it back. Likewise, every righteous tree brings forth righteous fruit. They do not belong to Satan because they practice righteousness. As 1 Yochanan 3, 4, 7, and 8, and verse 10 shows. But the tree of evil, be evil like the gods, Satan said. Be evil like the gods. Get that in your mind. We're going to cover it in a little while with another scripture. You'll be surprised. But the tree of evil brings forth fruits of iniquity. Iniquity means doing away with Yahweh's law. That's what Christianity teaches. That's what the Catholic Church did. They did away with Yahweh's laws. They write their own. A righteous tree cannot bring forth fruit of iniquity. It can't. We can't. I can't teach iniquity. I can't teach you that the law is done away with. I can't teach you to practice sin. I tell you, don't do it. Don't even put your foot down in it. Nor can a tree of evil, like the gods, bring forth fruit of righteousness. Every tree which does not bring forth righteous fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Period. Fire for burning. It's cast into the fire. If you don't join in and get it done, you're going to be cast into the fire. Revelations 18 is a great example of that fire also. Well, that house, of course, that's that house, Genesis 3, 1 through 5, of the gods. It's of the gods, Genesis 3, 1 through 5. Has Yahweh actually said that you're going to die? Yes, he said that. He said, in fact, you're going to perish. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 17 and 18. Let's turn there. Deuteronomy 30, verses 17. Deuteronomy 30. He first said in 15 now that he set this example where all the world and all the heavens, the heavenly courts, is talking about you right now. And in fact, your Savior, who, beautiful words there that I read to you earlier, he's the one that's fighting your battle, and he's like a lawyer, an attorney, going before the heavenly courts, pointing you out and what you have done, showing how you're fulfilling everything that Yahweh said you would fulfill. Now, that's what his job, that's what he's doing right now as your high priest. Plus, he's inspiring and helping those who will take the inspiration and go with it. You know, he says to you in a quiet little voice, don't do this. You know, if you go ahead and do it, it was your fault. You know it's wrong. Well, here now in verse 17, he said, but if your heart turns away, your heart, this is where the lust and the cravings come from, is this mind that sits here in your chest. Not up here, it sends a signal up here, but it actually sits here in your chest. And it creates desires for righteousness if you feed it righteousness. And it creates lust if you feed it television sets, entertainment from Hollywood. You know, something else I just remembered, Elder, about the 12 years old. When one time at the broom cornfield, someone had a funny book. That's what we called them then. I think they're called comic books now. We called them funny books at that time when they first came out because they're supposed to make you laugh. And I read it. I took it and I read it. And I said, why would you read this? Why would you want to read this thing? It was about, I think, his Dagwood and Blondie. And I said, don't you see that this makes the man or the leader of the house look bad? I said, my father would never be caught in that position right there. But I remember having a long talk there about that funny book. And I said, I wouldn't read this trash. This is just trash. I wouldn't waste my time on it. And later, you know, I saw others reading those things. And then they had the novels come out that was supposed to be day-to-day living. And they showed it like Peyton's Place, but they showed it in a book. Those things were available. But I said, they're time-wasting. They're no benefit. Now, I had that at a very young age, but I know that when I was 12 years old, I remember that incident. And you could do the same thing. You young people, get your mindset on these things. Don't let people lead you. You lead them. Lead them into righteousness. Think about what your mother and dad has taught you. And get your mindset on it. And you'll have your place in the kingdom. You'll have your place in the kingdom forever. You're a part of the greatest work of history. You're it. You're going to be first into this great kingdom that was prophesied and was in the plan. That Revelation 13:10, that's what it means, the plan of Yahweh. Right there. I'll show you that. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient and you are drawn to submit, you're drawn. You see that? How you're drawn? That comes from the heart. Satan feeds your heart with lust, saying, this is what you should be doing. Boy, this is fun. Think, and you could get out here on this crowded highway. You could get shot, you know. That's a going thing right now, shooting from one vehicle to the other, or wrecks and so forth. The safety is right here. Right here in the house of Yahweh. And you submit to these gods. You didn't know you're submitting to gods when you do this? Yes, you are. You're submitting to gods anytime you take part in this world. You're submitting to gods. Now that includes their entertainment. Their entertainment most of all. They had this when I was a child also. And I remember what took place at some of those parties. I wanted nothing to do with it, I said. I'm glad that Yahweh kept me from some sins. Okay, submit to gods. This is what you do when you don't keep the straight and narrow. When you keep the straight and narrow, Yeshua can say to the heavens, look how straight this boy is, or this girl is. But if you don't, and your heart is led astray, and you give in, you break your connection with Yahweh. Well, that's what Adam and Eve did. That's the reason the world is killing babies. You want to be a part of that? You are a part of it when you become a part of it. Any least part of it, you're guilty of all the wars, all the rapes, all the sickness and disease, everything. You fall into the same wicked barrel that they're in. Now that's how you're painted. You won't be in the kingdom to mess up the kingdom. To gods, to worship them by serving them. Yes, service of the gods can come on a guitar, a stringed instrument, a piano, or any sort of music making. You could turn it into righteousness. But the world doesn't, and you won't find it. You won't find it any place. You won't find righteousness any place but right here where you are. I declare to you this day that you will surely perish. That was verse 18. Isaiah 24, 1 through 6 says, well, let's turn to it, 24 and 1 through 6, and get it in combination with what you just read there in Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 6. He says, Yahweh says, behold, Yahweh makes the earth empty. He allows it to be made empty and makes it waste and perverts the face of it. All of this is a must so you can see what evil does to the world. We're seeing it right now on television live. And it will be as with the people, so with the priest. 4,199 different religions, and all of them involved in murder, in war. They are for war. Now, in the United States, you sign a driver's license and you're saying, I'm for war. And you can't back out. Once you sign it, there's no conscientious objecting then. You have no conscience left to object with. I'm for war. Put me down. I want this driver's license, so I'm signing this. I'm for your wars. Yes. I'm for war. You signed your name to it. And it will be as with people, so with the priest. As with the servant, so with the owner. All of them. No one is left out. That goes to extremes to show you this. The lenders, the borrowers, it means everybody. The land will be utterly emptied and utterly plundered, for Yahweh has spoken this word. He's given you the warning. The earth mourns and it fades away. That's what we see right now. And they're saying, we've got a crisis here. We don't know how to handle it. We're striving. Give us some money and we'll do this research. We're in a crisis. It's spreading big time. We have nothing to fight back with. The earth mourns and fades away. The world mourns and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth is defiled. Deuteronomy shows you that and tells you. And so does Leviticus. And says, don't do these actions that you were doing in Egypt with the Coptic Catholic religion. Don't do any of these things. You'll defile yourself. The earth will start fighting against you. Right now you can walk on the beaches and kill yourself. The earth fighting against you. You can eat meat from your local grocery store that looks clean and die from it. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants of it because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. Because of this, the curse has devoured the earth. It's devoured the whole earth, and they who dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth is burned. It's a must for this burning. It's a must. Now, we're in Isaiah 24, 1 through 6. The great fall. Turn over to Revelations 8, 13. Revelations 13. What I just read you. It's speaking of this warning. And it's speaking of our warning to the world. It's speaking of, I want you to notice here where he put this verse. Where he put this verse. He gives you the first kingdom there that Daniel spoke of that rose up with Nebuchadnezzar. Is actually started before that with the Herods, but the history picks up where Nebuchadnezzar was king. He wasn't the first of the kings that started the Roman army. The Herodians started it, paid it, and built it up. And of course, it's just grown from there, grown into the quartet and so forth. Well, this is the first beast that rose up where there's multitudes, nations, and languages. And then he puts this bit between it and the next beast here where we're living. It wasn't established at that time. The land wasn't discovered until 1492. And he puts this right in the middle between these two beasts right here. Every commentary knows that the Latin world came in and through their maneuvering set up the United States. They took control. They now have the courts. They have their priest. Right now there's a fight whether to put one of their Catholic priests in the Supreme Court who's being accused of being a rapist. And, of course, it looks like, I don't know how it's going to end, but we should find out today. But they're pressing to get this Catholic priest into the Supreme Court so he can be used to pass Vatican laws. Now, this is kind of a must, too, you know, because they got a whole bunch of new laws that they're going to put in motion. And, of course, this is going to be brought out on the news. So you'll see it here on the news maybe next week. Maybe it'll be brought out next week, maybe not. But very soon, we'll bring it out as quickly as we can after we show it. But this right here, if any man, now you see that? Look at the word there. Look at the word in that verse. Pay attention to that word. What does the word any mean? It means all. It means everyone with an ear. It means this message now that you right now is taking out to all the world goes to all the world and everyone in the world with an ear. Anyone who can hear, this is what it's showing you. This is the first time in history this has ever taken place. No one has been able to reach the world before. In 1934, that was the year I was born. That's the year the technology started that enables everyone with an ear. Everyone with an ear. That covers them all. Unless they're deformed and don't have ears. I've never known of any person that didn't have at least one ear. Think of what it's saying there. That couldn't have been anyone else but the house of Yahweh to take this message to the world at this time, to the whole world, not just one or two, but everyone with an ear. Everyone with an ear is going to hear this message. All ears. He says all eyes, but that word also means ears. All eyes are on the house of Yahweh at this time. Google says we're most popular. Most popular with these articles. And of course, they want to help us to get even more popular. I'm sure it's bringing attention to them. The Pope is out to try to stop us. Remember that in your prayers. Pray for the work. Pray for the work. Be a part of the work. As you are, be a part of the work. Bring it forth. Help us to bring it forth. Become a teacher of Yahweh's righteousness. Become a teacher of Yahweh's righteousness, and you'll live forever. And you'll enjoy this kingdom where there's no harm done to anyone, where no every need is met. May Yahweh bless your understanding. I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you.